If you're here for the first time, I'm not Steve Mullins. Or if I do a bad job, I am Steve Mullins. No. But I'm definitely not a professional speaker, and this is my first time. So Pastor told me the other day that Steve wasn't going to be able to be here. So I don't know what you're doing here as far as all that goes. But I have heard that you use the King James Bible here, 1611, authorized version, King James Bible. So I think I'm in the right spot, right? So I'm going to... What I'd like to do is... Let me... Can everyone hear me okay, though? I don't want to yell at you, but at the same time, I don't want you to go to sleep either. Well, that's an option, right? But please pray for me. I am honored and privileged to be here to be able to speak to you today and to share God's word with you. My name is Archie Johnson, and my wife over there is Diane Johnson. We've been married for 39 years as of June. This next June will be 39 years. We had a discussion about that last night, and I was a year off, but 39 years. In a good way. I was, you know, when you say it, you know, 37, 38, it's like, oh, wow, things have, but the other way, you don't want to go there. We joined Buffalo Ridge a year ago on Easter. So we were in the Family Life Center when all the pews were in there. That's when we joined Buffalo Ridge. Do we have any prayer requests? Do we take prayer requests in here? Do we have any prayer requests that you want us to pray for this morning? Any at all? Pat Shaw, Joe's wife. Pat. And there's probably a prayer list somewhere that for this class, but I don't have it. Any other prayer requests? Pat Shaw. Okay, Larry needs to be straightened out. Talk to his wife about that. Yeah, Larry's got back problems, so that's no fun. Just getting over a knee problem, right? Knee problem. Yeah, so. He had a knee problem, then he fell, and back hurts. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Hey, let's pray to start this morning. Lord, we come before your throne of grace to thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you for this new beautiful day. And just amazing how you created everything, and each day is uniquely designed for us each day. We just thank you for that. And we thank you for such a great church to be able to praise you and worship you. But ultimately, we want you to get the glory in everything we do. I pray that you help us today as we study your word. We pray for the pastor as he brings a morning message later. We want you to help those that are among us who are sick. I pray for Larry and pray for Pat Shaw and pray for others that may have unspoken requests. We want to pray for those that might be sick or hurting or lonely or struggling with something else. In Jesus' name, amen. So, As a young soldier in the Army, almost 40 years ago, I was at my trailer house outside of Fort Polk, Louisiana, and someone knocked on my door. And the person that knocked on my door, and you know, someone knocks on your door, especially in Louisiana 40 years ago, you're really wondering, should I open the door? But I did. I opened the door, and it was a soul winner from a fundamental independent Baptist church down the road. He knocked on my door, and wasn't long after that, I was kneeling at my coffee table, and I asked the Lord to save me. And I had since retired from the Army 20-some years later, and now I work for the Army still. So it's almost 40 years I've been with the Army, and that's what I do. And that's a little bit about me. But I've come to realize that there's nothing like the promise of heaven. And if you've been saved any length of time, and the closer as you get older, you see people passing off the scene, and just, you know, maybe your mom, maybe your dad, maybe others, and just having the promise of heaven in front of you, it just means everything to me, don't it? Isn't that awesome to know that heaven's your home? I don't know if you sing in here, but let's sing a song. Let's try a song. Since we're talking about heaven, real quick, how about I've Got a Mansion? Did you look that up, Diane? 504? 444. 444. Let's sing this song. I know maybe Steve doesn't sing in here. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I'll just go with what the Lord puts on my heart. How about that? And we don't have a piano player, so Joe will hum while we sing. I've got a mansion. One, two, three. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander on streets that are purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold. On the third, don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. I'm a soldier, I'm not a singer, all right? We'll make a joyful noise, and the piano helps out a lot, right? But the Lord hears our voice. And I'm just thinking about heaven, and I've been thinking about heaven a lot. And just think about the mansion. I'm looking for a house down here, right? I'm still looking for a house. I'm living in an apartment. But just think about the mansion that God has prepared. And I think like this, you know, as soon as I got saved, back in that trailer house at Fort Polk, Louisiana, almost 40 years ago, as soon as I got saved, God started working on my mansion. Can you imagine? It's got to be in good shape by now, all that time. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is that mansion. The crystal sea, just think about the crystal sea and the streets of gold. Can you imagine what kind of fish in that crystal sea? Now I got you all distracted. You're like, I'm going to go fishing. But what's the other song I was thinking about, Diane? Do you know? Is it in there? 410. Let's try 410, maybe one stanza, and then we'll get into the message. No, not 410. Did I hear that wrong? 470. I have decided. 470? I feel like I'm yelling in this thing. And thing of it is, folks, you may have gotten saved a long time ago. You might have gotten saved yesterday. But the closer we get to eternity, the closer we get to that mansion, these songs are so much more special. As I get older, I'm not that old, but as I get older, I mean, the songs just mean so much. And you think, okay, the excitement would wear off. The excitement just gets greater and greater as you get closer to heaven. And but let's sing this, and then we'll get to the message. I have decided to follow Jesus. 470. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none will go with me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. And I just felt led to sing a little bit this morning. And, you know, when a pastor asked me to teach, I thought, wow, I don't have much time to prepare. And then I thought, wow, what should I teach about? I don't have much time. I mean, it's Sunday. And then I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what would you want me to teach on? And he told me. He said, I already told you what to teach on. You didn't have much time. He says, I want you to teach on time. And so I took this off. Off the wall this morning, and so I want to teach on time a little bit today. You got a paper there, and it says, being a good steward of time. You know, God has given us many things. God has blessed us with all kinds of things, and we think of money when we think of stewardship, but time is something that God has given us. The greatest gift that we ever got is Jesus. But the second greatest gift that we got is time. And how we deal with the second greatest gift will determine how we're able to present the first greatest gift. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? So We are closer now to seeing Jesus face to face than ever before. And I asked myself, what am I doing different this week than I did last week? And think about that, okay? Maybe you're not even tracking. But what am I doing different this week than I did last week for the cause of Christ? What am I doing different this week? What did I do different this week than I did the week before for the cause of our relationship, my relationship with Christ? And like, if you haven't changed anything, then you're not going to grow or make any difference this week than you did last week. And the question at the end of this lesson that I'd like all of us to ask ourselves, what about next week? God reveals stuff to us, right? On Sunday and maybe through the week. What about next week? What are we going to change today or this week that will affect eternity? How are we going to use our time differently throughout this week that will maybe help eternity, that will affect eternity next week? Or our relationship with Christ? Or maybe our relationship with others? I know some folks, they're 60, 70, 80, and they don't talk. I talked to a person, let's see if he's here. I talked to a person, and he told me about his brother. And this person's probably 75, 80 years old, and he doesn't talk to his brother. His brother doesn't talk to him. So I'm thinking, okay, if I was in his shoes, what could I do with my time that would help my relationship with my brother? And I know it's, you know, you think it's him, you think it's you. Maybe it's neither. Maybe you just need to pray about it and go see your brother, something like that. But no one gets more time than someone else. No one is richer or poorer when it comes to time. As we get older, we feel as though we have less time. We feel as though we have less time, but be careful. We don't have less time as we get older. You know, like we get older, we don't have much time. We don't have less time. We have the exact amount of time that God wants for us. And you know, when you're younger, God doesn't promise you more than that day. The Bible teaches that you're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation if you're not saved. But you don't have less time than anyone else just because you're older or younger. You have the same amount of time as everyone else because you're not promised tomorrow. Do you ever think about it that way? I know we can get set in our mindset, but I attended Ray Susan's funeral last week, and Pastor Herdman got up to spoke. And he stated that if Ray could tell us when our time will be, if Ray could tell us from in heaven where our time, when our time would be up, when our time would be, we would be surprised that it would be sooner than what we think. And when the pastor said that last week, it just made me think that it'd be sooner than our time would be sooner than what we think. I mean, that's just amazing to me. I love the pastor. Pastor Herman's awesome. And I've been all around the world in many different churches and moved 27, 28 times in our life with our five kids. And I love you. I love our pastor. One of the greatest and most valuable gifts God has given to us is time. God teaches us in His Word His priorities for the stewardship of our time. When we think of time, when you heard I was going to speak on time, or when you see the paper, what do you think of when someone says we're going to talk about time in the Bible? You think about Ecclesiastes, right? We've been to a lot of funerals, and it's like there's a time for everything. To everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die and a time to weep. And that's what we think about at time. But please, instead of focusing on Ecclesiastes, please turn to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to talk about Ephesians for a little bit here. And I'll keep going back to Ephesians, but we're going to be all over a little bit. But on your paper there, if you have a pen and you want to follow along, it says, the quote on the top, it says, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." And right below that it says, time, we can waste it. Time, we can waste it. You know, we're just wasting time. Yes, you know, what do you do? I'm just wasting time. I'm just killing time. And someone else said, if you're killing time, you're injuring eternity. That makes sense. If you're wasting time, God has given you a certain amount of time. We're going to talk about in a second. God has given you a certain amount of time, and every second is planned. Every second that he's given you is on purpose. But if you waste it, you waste what God has for you in the future, and you injure eternity. So you can waste it. You can spend it. You can spend it. You can spend it on good things. You can spend it on not so good things. You can spend it on sin. You can spend it on other things. Or the third thing is you can invest it. And you can invest it with wise stewardship. You know, when you waste money or you buy something on impulse, it's like, I shouldn't have got that. I shouldn't have bought that. And you regret it. But when you invest, and you invest your time, coupled with God's priorities, you won't regret it. You'll be so glad you did. Number one is the priority of time. The priority of time. You can turn to Ephesians 5:14. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So, number one is the priority of time. God teaches us in his word his priorities for the stewardship of our time. And every heartbeat, every breath we take, every moment is on loan from God. If you think about it, if you really think about it, time's not ours, is it? You know, we talk about it like we own it. We don't. It's God. God owns that time. That's why we got to be good stewards of it. God owns it, and he's given it to us to use and be good stewards of. But it's how we choose. If life is a gift, then time is the vehicle by which it is delivered to us. Each day we live, we have at our disposal 24 hours. God's given us 24 hours. He's given us 1,440 minutes, and he's given us 86,400 seconds each day. But if I had 86,400 marbles in a big mason jar or pickle jar or something, and each second I took one and I threw it away in the trash, I'd take another one, throw it away in the trash. Eventually I would get to the bottom of that jar, and The day would be gone, and our time would be gone. What did we do all the time? that 86,400 minutes. There's a illustration here. Someone figured this out. If we live 70 years, and some of you probably is like, yeah, I'm past that a little bit, but maybe you're not. But if we live 70 years, we sleep 23 of those years. Sleep 23 of those years out of your 70 years, if you combine it all together. We work 16 years, right? If you take all the hours and time and you crunch them together. On the average, people watch television 8 years. 8 years straight. That's 8 years you watch television if you're just average. We eat. Now, this varies, right? We eat for 6 years. Can you imagine eating 6 years? If you live 70, for 70, you eat 6 years. And we travel for 6 years. It says illness. If you're an average person, you'll have illness that will take 4 years of your life. Dressing, just getting dressed in the morning. If you live 70 years, on the average, you'll take 2 years to get dressed. And if you're a lady, but some of you take longer than others, right? So the number one is the priority of time. Most people, especially lost people, enter each day on a treadmill of meaningless routines. Each day is a repeat of the last, and they go to bed to catch the rest they need to do it all over again tomorrow. Routines are good. Reading your Bible and different things at a certain time, they're good, and they're beneficial, but only as they contribute to an overall picture of success. And don't be afraid of that word success, being a Christian. There's nothing wrong with the word success. What's wrong sometimes is how you define success. And we'll talk about that if we get time. But they come home, they watch TV, they watch the news, they go to bed, and they repeat the cycle the next day. Aren't you glad you're saved? And you have a different outlook than a lot of people. And that just gives you so much more compassion for the people that are lost. A, awake to salvation. Paul admonished us to wake up. He said, wake up. In the morning, I had three boys. And in the morning, I was in the military, right? So I would go around and I would shake their bunks. And I would say, up in the morning, out of the rack. And shake them. And back then, they hated it, right? But now, just the other day, I was talking to my son. He said, I remember when you used to sing that. And I miss it. That's amazing, right? You hate it, but then you miss it. You know. So wake up. Paul says in Ephesians that we are to wake up. He admonished us. Christ will give us light. And verse 14 again, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's talking about not that you're sleeping, laying on your bed. He's talking about, what time do we have to finish here? Quarter till? Is it quarter till? I guess so, right? Quarter till? Okay, I didn't know. But anyway, when he's talking about here that people that aren't saved, people that haven't seen the light, people that have their eyes closed, right? This passage, first of all, speaks to those who have never come to the light of Jesus Christ. They may have been religious, but lost. Paul challenges them to awake from their life without Christ. First of all, and where are we at with our... First of all, we need to awake to salvation. And I have a couple of verses written down there for you. But we need to awake to salvation. I do not assume anything. There's people in here that were saved or said they were saved, and then when they became adults, they actually got saved. Well, if you're sitting here today and if you're not trusting in Jesus and Christ alone for your salvation, for your way to heaven, I want you to think about that today. I plead with you because you know what? In the perspective of time, that 86,400 seconds, and we're not promised tomorrow, I really plead with you and think about the condition of your heart today. Wake up to salvation. And then B is awake to God's priorities. You want to know what success is? It's based on God's priorities, not the world's. Sometimes we get caught up. In the world, in the things of the world, and we base success on money. We base the success on things. But we shouldn't base them on those. We should base them on... Anyway, we're talking about light here in this passage, and I got to hurry along. But it talks about in Psalm, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto your feet." And you've seen this illustration before. If you have a lamp, right, just the old-time lamp with a candle or maybe a propane lamp or kerosene lamp, it'll show a circle, right? It'll show a circle around you if you're holding that lamp. And it's just like the Bible. If you're lost or if you're searching, the Bible will show a circle around you. And it'll show the condition of your heart as it reflects around you. You read it, you study it, you listen to the preaching, it'll show the condition of your heart. But then it goes on to say, not only is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. If you have a light like a flashlight and you shine it, you can see down the road a little bit, right? Not only will it show you where you are, the condition of your heart, it'll give you the direction that you need to go. And Isaiah 61, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Every time, and we're talking about light here and God's priorities as it relates to time, every time you open your eyes and that light goes in your eye gate, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. In the morning, there was a time. Well, I won't go there, but just praise the Lord that you're able to see the light in the morning or at any time. But be awake to God's priorities. Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. And like I said, the second greatest gift is time, and how you treat that time is how you'll be able to share the first greatest gift. And I wrote that down here. But we need to be awake. We need to live on purpose. Don't wake up and live your whole day and your whole week by accident. You need to have a plan. You need to have a plan when you wake up. You need to have a plan for your week. And you need to have a plan for next week. Because guess what? If you don't have a plan, Satan has a plan. The devil has a plan. Even if you're saved, he has a plan. And he will use it against you. So you need a plan. Don't be deceived thinking you can just go through life. And am I yelling at you? I'm sorry, I don't want to yell at you. I get excited though, right? Because I'm applying it to me. And live on purpose. There's a quote, "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back." I'm going to give a quick illustration here. The most important things in life are free, someone said. But they're free to some people, right? They're not free to everyone, and they're not cheap, but often taken for granted. Some people think freedom is free, right? I used to often go to the Pentagon. And I was walking up to the Pentagon, and there was a sidewalk here, and the Pentagon's on my left. And on the right side of the sidewalk was a bunch of protesters, right? So I'm right there, a bunch of protesters, and they were spitting, they were swearing, they were throwing things, they had their signs, and they were just protesting the military as I walked up there. And then I turned to them, right? I was going to tell them what I thought. But as I turned to them, over the shoulder, Pentagon's on my back, protesters right here, and over the shoulder is a place called Fort Myers in the distance on a hill. Right beside Fort Myers is Arlington Cemetery. And I just was thinking, and I was a Christian, those people in Arlington Cemetery died for the right and the privilege for these people here protesting to do what they're doing. And the same thing, Jesus died on a rugged cross for us to give us time. He left his throne in heaven, born in a manger, lived 33 years, traveled to the cross, and then on the third day rose again and is at the right hand of the Father. He did all that for us. And he did all that to give us time. For what? So we could squander it? So we could use that 86,400 seconds for nothing? Let's have a plan. And I'll give you a few more things, and then we'll have to go. But I probably have 4 more hours of material here. So I had a plan. It was just the wrong plan. But the priority of time, awake to salvation, awake to God's priorities. 2, the preservation of time. We're supposed to have 2 kind of walks. We should have 2 kind of walks when we're trying to preserve time. One is a cautious walk. You know, we can stumble through this world. We stumble through our daily lives, wasting our time. Or we can do it on purpose, walking circumspectly, as the Bible teaches. Walking carefully, making choices as you first present them to the Lord and then apply them to your life. Walk circumspectly. We were taught in the military how to walk through a minefield. And, you know, you go toe first, then heel. Toe first, then heel. And you walk carefully, and you look for anything disturbed and things like that. We were taught that we need to scan the perimeter, right, in the military. You scan the perimeter, see if anything's out there. You watch for the enemy. You have to do that as a Christian even more so. So that's how you need to walk, cautiously. And it needs to be a calculated walk. Be a calculated walk. And you have some verses to study there. As you walk, as you're walking cautiously, 1 Timothy 4:11 through 12. I don't have that on your handout, but you might want to write that down. 1 Timothy 4:11 through 12. That's where it's talking about being an example. Especially as you're an older adult, you need to be a good example. You need to be an example. You need to be an example in the things you say. You need to be an example in your conversation or the way you live your life. You need to be a good example. And 3, the purpose of time. The purpose of time, we need to seek the wisdom of God. So the purpose of time, seek the wisdom of God and seek the will of God. And in closing, you know what I would just say? I would say Psalm 27:4. In closing, if you want to look at Psalm 27:4, what you can do to help you with your time this week, your time today, and the things that will affect your cause for Christ, the things that you will help you affect for the cause of a relationship. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing, if you can just do one thing, just decide to do one thing and pursue it. Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and will I seek after. And David says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Then he goes on to say, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to dwell in his temple. So make sure you keep coming to church. Be here when you should. Keep listening to preaching and reading your Bible. But just find out one thing, write it down, pursue that, and then use your time wisely. Have a good day. See you next time.